Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right, so I am a lover of the Harry Potter books and movies. If you don't know about these, you should pick them up. They're wonderful. And I'm one of those that every time a new book came out, I would get ready for the new book by starting at book one and going through. There's 7 books, which means I've read book 1 7 times, book 2 6 times, and book 7 I have read twice, and I'm sure at some point I will get ambitious and go 1 through 7 again. I really do love them. Wonderful writing and great imagination within them. Well, the second book is called Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, okay? Harry is the young wizard in this book series that's going to a school called Hogwarts that's for young witches and wizards. Now, one day during this book, Harry gets sent to the headmaster's office. Headmaster, that's Professor Dumbledore, okay? So he heads into Professor Dumbledore's office, and Professor Dumbledore isn't there yet. But what is in there is Professor Dumbledore's bird, which happens to be this beautiful red phoenix called Fox, okay? This huge, beautiful bird. So Harry walks in and he greets Fox, and upon his greeting, Fox just lights on fire and ends up this pile of ashes in the dish below his perch. Harry is mortified, to say the least. And right at this point is when Professor Dumbledore, right behind Fox's perch, comes down the stairs, and Harry immediately starts apologizing. "I didn't do anything. He just caught on fire. There was no way I could stop it." And Professor Dumbledore's response to this young man who's so upset is, "Well, it was about time. He was looking dreadful." You see, if you know about mythological phoenixes live forever, like 1,400, 2,000 years. But their body ages like any other bird. It gets weak, it gets decrepit, and when it gets to this point, a phoenix will set fire, and it will be reborn out of the ashes. So here, when Professor Dumbledore explains this to Harry, the camera pans over to this pile of ashes, and what do you see but this cute little baby phoenix head pops up out of the ashes and starts cooing at them. And here they go to start life anew. So what do we have this morning as we come to All Saints? We think back to Genesis 2. To the second story of creation. Remember, Genesis 1 has the first story, and Genesis 2 has the second story, each with a little different emphasis to it. But in Genesis 2, we have this beautiful image of God who's created the earth, and then out of the dust and the mud of the earth, he scoops it up, and he forms a human being, and then he breathes his life into that human being. And so by this story, what are we? We are a combination of the creation of earth and God's breath in us that gives us life. So from the dust of the earth, we come. But then what do we see when our life comes to a close? When this mortal body is finished, we don't spontaneously combust and catch fire. I hope not. Please don't do that. But what do? We find ourselves returned to the earth. Return to the dust, return to the ashes, going back from where we came from. Of course, for us, this oftentimes leaves us in grief. We who are left behind think about the one that we have loved, feeling that we have lost them, that we will see them no more. This is our mortal minds, and this is how we think. But here we go to our scripture, and we start with Genesis, and then we go to the very end of our Bible. And here in the second to last chapter, in chapter 21, God is looking at us mortals and realizing our state and realizing our condition. And he's talking, yes, about the end of the earth, but he's also talking about our present time today and giving us a promise. And he says, "I see you. I see what's happening to you. But here I come to make all things new." God says, "I see your grief. I see your pain. I see your loss. I see what happens when your mortal body finishes its course on this earth. And God says, I am ready to make it anew. I am ready to have it reborn from those ashes. And God says, this life is just the appetizer. This is just the beginning. For when our life on this earth ends and when we are sent back to the dust of it, God says now is when you are reborn and you go into eternity. But here's the blessed thing. This life can be painful. This life can be harsh. This life can have struggles all interwoven into those joys and great times. And sometimes it just seems unbearable. But guess what? The life with pain, the life with struggles, the life with challenges is the short life that we live. And then God says, when you pass from this earth, I clothe you in pure white. I clothe you in the beauty of perfection. And in that perfect state, in that perfect, spotless, blameless state, that is where you will spend your eternity with me. Not the broken and the frail, but the perfect and the glorious. This is the good news we hear. But here we see these ashes. Here we realize, you know, that's wonderful with the one that we've lost, but what about me right now? And I think about two of our saints. I think about two of our saints and the ways that rebirth was seen with them. Just on Friday, I did a service for Claire Worth, who had been a wonderful member of our church and a part of our quilting group. And I got to read this beautiful testimony that she had written. And she had had a tough life in so many ways. In so many ways, felt like a broken human being, but she talked about when she got to go to Jerusalem, and she talked about when she got to go in to the tomb where Jesus was buried. And she said in there, she heard the words, he is alive, he is alive. And she said in that moment, she was reborn in Christ. And she saw herself as worthy, and she saw herself as loved, and she saw faith as something very real to her, and God as something that was very personal and real to her. Out of what had been brokenness in her life, she was able to be reborn in that moment and start anew. Of course, I saw the same in Leo Huber. And Leo Huber, he's one of those that I didn't think I was going to get to know Leo. Because when I got here, the Alzheimer's was so bad that every time Sherry and I would go visit him, he would just sleep through the visit. And it was like 9 months that I was here, and I had never even had one word with him because all he had ever done was sleep. And I will admit to you, I was so worried. I thought, oh my goodness, he's going to pass from this terrible disease, and I'm going to have to do his funeral, having never had a conversation with him. And that's so tough to do. And I so wanted to get to know him. And then here, 9 months into being here, Joan passes away, his beloved wife. And I thought for sure, you know, Leo's not going to be far behind her. The grief of losing her and being so attached to her and so reliant on her, so many times people in that state pass so quickly. And I thought Leo's going to be one of those. But then hear what happened. But Leo was really reborn when Joan passed. Out of the ashes of his grief, Leo woke up and he came to life. And the most beautiful thing, and I know some of you didn't like it, but I loved that at social hall time, it was like the singles party over there, and he was hitting on all the women looking for a date. Talk about waking up to new life. But here he was in his grief. He became born again. He got a second wind and a second chance and had a second life that he lived until his time was up in May. You see, in our ashes, in our grieving, in our loss, in our brokenness, we can allow God to rebirth us, to give us a second chance to be born out of them, to see it as a wake-up call, to not be thinking about what the past has been, but to be thinking what we can do with the days and the months and the years that are left. Because God says there's a time where there will be no pain and no death and no suffering and no sorrow. And he desires to bless us with that. Why? Because he tells us in verse 7, he says, those are my children, and I am their father. And so God promises to take care of us. He promises to be there, to bless us, if we will just look to him with faith. If we will take a day like today to see the saints that are before us, to see how they have been so strong with us, to see how they have taught us and led us and loved us, and to use them as an inspiration for how we live from this day forward. Because for us, the option is we can see them as lost to us, or we can see that they have been found in God and that they can be a constant memory for us of how we can live each day. My friends, will you pray with me as we prepare to remember our saints this morning? Father God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks that we are your children and you are our God, that you have the most capable hands we could ever know, capable hands that can take ash and bring new life out of it, that can take the dust of this earth and breathe life into it and make us who we are. We ask that you will bless us each day to see the possibilities for us, to see how it is that we can make the most out of each day, and how our hearts do not have to be broken for those that we have lost, but that our hearts can be inspired each day by them, to see that they are seated at your right hand, to see that they are no longer in pain, to see that they are no longer in broken bodies or with broken spirits, but they are glorified into perfection with you, receiving the reward that they reaped from their faith. For all of this, God is yours. And so we give everything we have to you in thanks and praise. Amen.